Then a demon-oppressed man who was blind and mute was brought to him, and he healed him, so that the man spoke and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, "Can this be the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "It is only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this man casts out demons." Knowing their thoughts, he said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. And if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can someone enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? Then indeed he may plunder his house. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. Therefore I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word, and let's pray together. Father in heaven, I ask that your Spirit would come and give us wisdom and understanding that we might perceive what Jesus meant to his original audience and how it applies to us today. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. On October 30th, 1938, CBS Radio aired a broadcast that has become legend in the annals of pop culture history. On Halloween night, as listeners were enjoying the music of Roman Rockello, anyone remember him, and his orchestra, a news bulletin suddenly interrupted programming. A grave voice announced the invasion of Earth by Mars. Many people did not realize they were listening to a dramatic adaptation of H.G. Wells' book, The War of the Worlds, produced by an up-and-coming actor by the name of Orson Welles. They listened in horror and hysteria, believing the Earth was actually under attack. According to reports, one police station received more than 1,000 calls within the first 15 minutes of that radio broadcast. Now, can you all just imagine what that must have been like back in 1938? No internet to verify what was going on. People really thinking that this world had been invaded by Mars. This infamous War of the Worlds broadcast is still known as one of history's greatest hoaxes. I'm not sure what the equivalent would be today. Maybe a viral Instagram post picturing Taylor Swift as an alien from another galaxy, maybe. After all, I feel like the world's coming to an end every time one of her songs comes on the radio. So, Jesus' first coming 2,000 years ago can be compared to an invasion of Earth from another realm to reclaim this world for God. We don't often think about Jesus' life and ministry as an invasion, But that's exactly what it was. Jesus Christ left all the splendors of heaven behind and came to this broken and beleaguered world to live among such sinful creatures as us. But unlike Martians from Mars, Jesus' goal wasn't to enslave humanity. His mission was to set us free from the spiritual forces that have held us captive ever since Satan tricked Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And how did Jesus do this? Well, he took on human flesh and became one of us. He started a war against the devil and his demonic forces that dominated our world. He did this by announcing the arrival of the kingdom of God and proclaiming a message of repentance. He did this by reversing the curse of sin, by healing the sick and the blind and the lame and the deaf and the dumb. He delivered people from demonic oppression. He confronted the religious hypocrisy of the day. He offered forgiveness from sins. And as we will see when we get to the end of Matthew's gospel, he did this by offering his own death on the cross and resurrection from the grave 3 days later. But here in Matthew 12, the gospel writer gives us a really interesting glimpse into this cosmic war of the worlds that is constantly raging in us and all around us. As we look at this passage together today, let me highlight just three observations about this war of the worlds. The first one is this: the devil wars against the world through demonic oppression. Matthew begins this section by telling a story about a blind and mute man who was brought to Jesus. Now, at first glance, this story doesn't seem to be very different from any of the other healing stories that we've already encountered in this book. But upon closer look, notice that Jesus perceives a spiritual source to this man's physical problem. On the outside, this man struggled with two physiological disabilities: blindness, he couldn't see, and muteness, he couldn't speak. In many of Jesus' healings, we don't know the original cause of the physical problem. When he heals blind people, we don't know if the person was born blind or if they became blind later in life from an accident or for an illness. When people are mute, we don't know if they were born mute or if they became mute after they were married, like many husbands that I've known along the way. At least a few people got that one, so I appreciate that. Just joking. No, don't take that seriously. But in this case, Matthew tells us that this man's physical disabilities were caused by demonic oppression. Isn't that interesting? We know explicitly the reason why. That blindness and muteness were not caused by some genetic defect, were not caused by some physical illness, but they were caused by demonic oppression. Jesus perceived this, and he knew exactly what to do with it. He cast out the demon, and lo and behold, the man could see and he could speak. Jesus healed his physical body by dealing with the spiritual problem in his soul. And as we might expect, the crowds were amazed at this miraculous healing. They were so amazed, in fact, that they began shouting or asking, "Can this be the Son of David?" A title that was synonymous with the coming of the Messiah. After all, most people knew the prophecy that the Messiah would descend from the line of David. Also, David was the only person recorded in the Old Testament to have ever exorcised a demon. And this incident was another hint that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, this story gives us an important insight into the connection between the physical and spiritual world. In our scientific and secular age, few people give much credence to the reality of Satan or demonic forces, let alone the fact that a physical problem could actually have a spiritual source. If you don't believe me, next time you go to the doctor, ask her if she thinks your high blood pressure is demonically induced, and just watch the look come across her face. I was actually at the doctor earlier this week, and I failed to take that my own experiment. I wish I would have. Oh, I would have loved to see the look on Dr. Bondison's face when we were talking about blood pressure. That would have been fantastic. But most people don't believe that. Not today. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that if you have high blood pressure, you probably have demons lurking in your house. Chances are you probably have too much sodium in your diet and don't exercise enough. But some physical problems are demonically induced. I have encountered a number of people in my 20-plus years of ministry here who have had symptoms of chest pain, back pain, a whole host of mental problems that were not organic or physical in nature, but they really were demonic in nature. And as soon as we prayed and the demons were cast out, guess what? No more back pain, no more chest pain. All of a sudden, mental problems dissipated and fell away. Sometimes these people had been treated by doctors for years without any relief. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that every physical problem we face is caused by demons. That's not the case. But we would be remiss if we never let that be a possibility, because that's exactly what happened here, and it happens today much more than what most of us realize. Over the years, I've mentioned this before, that I am personally convinced that most suicides and most mass shootings are caused by demonic oppression. Now, not all of them, but most of them. For instance, you may remember the news story from just a month ago when a man in North Braddock, Pennsylvania, just outside of Pittsburgh, walked into a church on Sunday morning, pointed a gun at the pastor, pulled the trigger. Thankfully for that pastor, the gun was jammed and it didn't go off, and then people from the church pounced and apprehended the man until law enforcement got there. By the way, every time I hear stories like that, it does make me sort of wonder if someone pointed a gun at me in this church, which one of you would actually have my back? I really wonder as I'm looking across the congregation this morning. So just that's a side note, but you should think about that just a little bit. But in that story, sometimes these things never get reported, but in the news report that I heard on this one, there was a little addendum at the end of the story, and this is what it said. Police have not shared what may have motivated the gunman to target the pastor. Pastor Germany has said the shooter told him spirits got into his head. Isn't that interesting? Spirits got into his head. Now, we can count that off as he was mentally ill. After all, what kind of person's going to walk into a church and pull a gun on the pastor, right? But once again, I've made the point plenty of times. I think mental illness gets blamed way too often, and we never give spiritual illness a chance. Demonic oppression. Don't be fooled. The devil continues to war against the world through demonic oppression today. Ever since he fell from grace, Satan has sought to undo God's good work, and his demonic minions continue to attack people through physical disease and disability, mental disorders, and are not the only but a driving force behind much of the violence that we see in society today. This, unfortunately, is the bad news, But the good news is found in the next section of our biblical text, which brings me to my second observation. Jesus wars against the devil by advancing God's kingdom in the world. Whereas the crowds were amazed by Jesus driving out the demon and healing the blind and mute man, notice the Pharisees were annoyed by it. Before the mute man could hardly get a word out of his mouth, these religious watchdogs pounced on Jesus and accused him of driving out demons by the power of, do you see the name there? Beelzebub. Now that's an odd name, isn't it? Have you ever heard it before? In all my years, I've never heard anyone name their dog Beelzebub, nor am I recommending that, but wouldn't that be interesting? Beelzebub literally means Lord of the Flies or Master of the House, and it was an ancient name for Satan. The Pharisees don't deny Jesus' miracle, but instead they attribute Jesus' power to Satan. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, defends himself against this on the ground of common sense. He says, literally, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And then in verse 28, Jesus makes a penetrating remark when he says, but if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. These exorcisms reveal the arrival of the kingdom of God. But the Pharisees' hearts were so hardened that they refused to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. Jesus continues to compare his advancing kingdom of God as an invasion of a well-guarded house. If a man wants to plunder a strong man's house, what do you have to do? First, you have to bind the strong man. And this is an obvious metaphor for Jesus binding Satan through these exorcisms and reclaiming this world that was rightfully belonging to him. Ever since Jesus arrived on the scene and started advancing the kingdom of God, he's been binding Satan and plundering his house through his preaching, healing, miracle, and exorcism ministries. And as we today wait for our Lord to return and finish what he's started, he has enlisted us, his disciples, to engage in this cosmic war of the worlds and fight against the devil and his forces. But how do we do that? Well, in our call to worship this morning, Ephesians 6, the armor of God, hints at it. But let me be explicit here. How do we engage in battle against the spiritual forces of darkness? Persistent prayer. Reading God's word. Worshiping at church, what we're doing right now, this very moment. Did you know that that's warring against the devil? Proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes literally driving out demons. Living moral and ethical lives. Healing the sick. Helping the disabled. Providing for the poor. Speaking words of kindness. Forgiving sins. Letting go of grudges. Did you know that every time you forgive someone and let go of a grudge, that's an assault on the kingdom of Satan and his minions. And every time we sacrificially serve other human beings, we are engaging in warfare against the devil. These are the weapons of our warfare. God has called us to use the gifts and resources he's given us to reclaim this world for him. Now that we've seen how the devil wars against the world through demonic oppression and how Jesus wars against the devil by advancing his kingdom in the world, Jesus makes it crystal clear in verse 30 that in this war of the worlds, we are either with him or we are against him. There's no neutrality, no man's land, no sitting on the fence, no waiting to see who wins. We're either on Jesus' side or we're on Satan's side. In verse 31, Jesus goes on the offensive by accusing the Pharisees of being in the devil's army by committing this, what he calls, unforgivable sin of blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. Now, over the years, many Christians have questioned and quibbled over this ambiguous phrase. Some have even lived in fear of committing this unforgivable sin. So what is it exactly? In the simplest terms possible, blaspheming against the Holy Spirit is attributing God's good work to Satan, which is exactly what the Pharisees were doing by blaming Jesus for casting out demons through the power of Beelzebub. In essence, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is a direct rejection of Jesus' identity as Messiah and his work of redemption. Therefore, if you have declared your allegiance to Jesus Christ by repenting from your sins and putting your faith in him, you have not and cannot commit the unforgivable sin of blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. For you, there's absolutely no reason to fear. But if you have rejected Jesus and his ministry, or you keep trying to ride the fence about Jesus, you are in jeopardy of committing this unforgivable sin. And so let me just plainly ask you today, whose side are you on? Jesus or Satan? If you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus, you have either intentionally or inadvertently sided with the Pharisees and the demons by joining the devil's forces. In Jesus' next offensive strike, he makes the point that a tree is known by its fruit. He says, good trees bear good fruit and bad trees bear bad fruit. And so he's calling the Pharisees bad trees that bear bad fruit. He goes on to use a very sharp term. He calls them, you brood of vipers, referring to a bunch of baby snakes that have just been hatched from the eggs of its mother. If you imagine a whole bunch of little snakes flying out, a brood of vipers. It's no accident that Jesus uses this term to describe them, manipulative, because it points back to Satan himself, who took on the form of a serpent, a snake, in the Garden of Eden. Jesus concludes his scathing indictment with a chilling warning. And if I can just ask you to take a look at these words for a moment. If you hear nothing else this morning, hear this. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Even though Jesus' warning was directed toward the Pharisees for accusing Jesus of getting a supernatural power from the devil, it is true for all of us today. Someday, every single one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account not only for our actions, but for every word we've ever spoken. Every careless word. This ought to make all of us stop in our tracks and assess what comes out of our mouths and what's already in our hearts. Will our words and actions drive people away from Jesus? Or will they draw them closer to him? Even though we don't see it with our eyes, there is a spiritual war of the worlds raging all around us. Jesus invaded our world at his first coming. He bound Satan through his ministry and dealt him and his demons a death blow through his crucifixion and resurrection. And someday Jesus will return to finish what he started. Until then, He has left us the Holy Spirit and enlisted us to continue to battle on His behalf until all of His work on earth is done. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for this portion of Your word. None of us likes to think about Satan or demonic forces or demons in our world today. And yet, Lord, You have called our minds and our attention to this topic today. And so, Lord, I pray that You would help us to be mindful of these things, to recognize that Satan is real. He is still working against us today. But, Lord, we thank You that You have already won the battle, and it's only a matter of time until it comes to an end. But until that day comes, Lord, I pray that You would empower each one of us to continue to do the work that You have called us to do, to love You, to follow You, to be Your hands and feet in this world. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.